Welcome. This is Sunday, June 28th, 2020. Church family and friends. Our scripture this week are from Romans 6, verses 12 through 23, and Philemon, verses 8 through 17. Paul writes to us in Romans 6, 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. But don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sins, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. So what benefit did you reap at the time from things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our second reading is from Philemon 8 through 17. And Paul writes to Philemon, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My message for you today, I've titled, Who or What is Yanking Your Chain? Well, in our living room behind the Lazy Boy chair, where I usually sit, we have a pole light. And on the end table next to the couch where Bonnie usually sits, we have a table lamp. And both of them have chains to turn them on. One little tug and presto, we go from darkness to light. Recently, we were given a beautiful pole light. And in an attempt to find the right place for it, Bonnie tried several locations. Well, no matter where she placed it, you couldn't turn it on without standing up. You see, it had a push switch instead of a chain to turn it on. And I could have replaced it with a chain to make it more useful. But we decided to give it away. And maybe I should have changed it and made it more useful. But I didn't. Well, this week, somebody asked me what the sermon was about. And I said, I'm preaching about slavery. Well, that was a good way to stop a conversation. For slavery, in our first scripture reading in Romans 6, Paul talks about slavery. It was an established institution of his time. And there is no evidence that he tried to reform it or change it to make it more useful. Like our decision about the pole light. But in our second scripture this week, and this is a letter written to a slave owner named Philemon. And during one of his vacations in jail, Paul met a runaway slave named Onesimus. Well, they got to talking, and Onesimus became a Christian. And when his sentence was up, Paul put a letter in his hand and sent him back to his owner, who was also a Christian. And Paul says, I'm paraphrasing, now you get him back as more than a slave. He's a brother. Well, it was a nice thing to say, but the young man still was a slave. Paul did attempt to change Philemon's attitude towards masters and slaves, though, in the case of Onesimus. Well, you might remember that Paul likes to give advice in his letters. Sometimes he gives advice to all the key figures of a household. Like husbands, give your lives for your wives. Wives, give yourselves to your husbands. Or children, obey your parents. And slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. We find these in Ephesians 5 and 6. See, Paul was a preacher. And even if he were so inclined, there was no way he could reform an institution like slavery, which was the economic backbone of the Roman Empire. Slavery sounds strange and repulsive to us, but it was part of his life and his culture. So much so that he could see slavery as an image or a picture or some of the fundamental relationships in life. He starts his letter to the Romans with the words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, in Romans 1:1. Well, the word servant in Greek is doulos. And that can be translated as slave. So we could read it, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul believes that he has a master. In fact, if you listen to this whole passage from Romans 6, it sounds like Paul believes that everybody has a master. Somebody owns us. Well, that sounds strange to people like us. We live in a land where freedom is always defined as independence. Now think about this, because Independence Day is right around the corner. And if you are free, it means you are independent. In 1776, we declared independence from British rule. And that really has become the governing metaphor for American life. I am free. I am my own person. I don't need anybody else. I am an island unto myself. Well, that is what a lot of people want, to become independent. They don't want someone or something yanking their chain. So, years ago, Bonnie and I sat down to watch the Miss American pageant. And we were watching the pageant for different reasons, you know. I was watching to hear all those meaningful speeches, right? Bonnie pointed to one of the candidates. Watch that one, she said. She is going to win. Why, I asked. Well, because she gave a really good speech about being her own person. Well, sure enough, she won. And our culture would like us to believe that stuff. You are free to do whatever you want. go wherever you wish, buy whatever you desire. Meanwhile, there are a lot of people telling us what to do, where to go, and what to buy. We think we are free. But what we are really doing is merely letting someone or something else yank our chain. Especially during this pandemic, it almost feels like we're back under Roman rule. Last summer, a friend of mine, he told me he saw a group of teenagers at a local ice cream store on a summer night. And it was a good night for ice cream, and it was a typical scene. Clusters of teenagers orbiting around one another, trying to think for themselves and trying to fit in. And he said, if you asked them, everyone would value independence and freedom. But as he looked at them, all the girls were wearing the same jeans. All the boys were driving their dad's expensive cars and trying to be cool, you know. All the while, they were really trying to be their own persons. But be your own person means don't be a geek. Buy your clothes at the Gap and borrow your dad's Vet or Mustang when you go to the ice cream. Paul is right. Even in the land of freedom and liberty, somebody or someone has shackled us in chains, whether we know it or not. So the question is, who is, or what is, yanking your chain? Some people, they're slaves to shopping. They can't pass up a sale. It's 30% off at Kohl's. And even if they have a house full of things they don't need. Well, some people are slaves to cholesterol. They have never met a donut or a piece of bacon they didn't like. I included. Some people are slaves to their jobs. They don't like their jobs, but the company is paying them too much for them to quit, so they go to work in golden handcuffs. And some corporations are slaves to greed. Everybody answers to the bottom line. If the bottom line is not high enough, somebody has to go. In fact, in the last few years, we have had all kinds of revelations about that. But it's not news to anyone. This Sunday, we welcome new partners to our church family. And there are a lot of things in church that seem like slavery. We come here and pray for forgiveness. And somebody else tells us we are forgiven. And across the aisle, we see somebody we would rather not even spend any time with. And we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we think, oh, I don't want to forgive him or her. I'm not going to forgive him or her. But we have said those prayers and we are bound to those words. There are some things we learn through the church that feel like burdens. We get to know somebody and discover that they are hurting. And we don't know what to do. We don't know how to help. And it would be a lot easier to slip away and ignore them. But we can't do that because we are bound together through Christ, even when we would rather go our own way. There are some occasions when the church decides it has to do something. Say a widow with 7 kids comes to our neighborhood. She speaks with an accent, and we don't know how we're going to help them. And we are wondering how much this is going to cost and what else is going to be put on our plate. But we know it's the right thing to do. And we are bound to the work of evangelism, of justice, and new beginnings. Believe me, friends, there is no greater slavery than serving only yourself. Paul says he's a slave of Jesus. He struggles with his own urges, just like anybody else. But he knows in his gut that no good can come from listening only to his own desires. For he is bound to a greater purpose than following his nose or listening to his stomach. He belongs to Jesus Christ. That is his identity, and that gives him a purpose. He says this because he knows that the only thing he does is what he wants to do. If the only opinion he listens to is his opinion or his friends' opinions, if the only purpose for his life is to cover his tail or save his skin, then he's in a whole lot of trouble. The power of sin is so pervasive that it can take and twist our best impulses into something foul. There are so many kinds of sin that work on us and bind us. It's hard to be free from all of it, but it's possible if it's only Christ who is yanking our chain. Well, there are a lot of times when it would be easier to do our own thing, to play it safe, to pay back, to back away, to retreat in comfort. Well, then we come to church and remember that we are bound to Jesus Christ. And not only that, he has bound himself to us. We are never free from him. And the good news, of course, is that in this kind of bondage, this kind of slavery, there is great freedom. And the only one who is yanking our chain is Christ. Today we welcome the new partners. And I pray that you will become slaves to Christ with us, knowing that only he is the one yanking our chain in his service. This is Pastor Joe.